Thank you so very much. Beautiful song and beautifully done. So good to see you. Glad that you're here today. And I have enjoyed myself as I've had the privilege to stand here again and again and now again. And looking forward to what God has in store for us. And He does, doesn't He? He really does. Take your Bible with me, if you would, this morning. And turn to several portions of Scripture, if you would, please. And I'll give you time to get to them. The first one is Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Once you find Proverbs chapter 3, then turn on over to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 3, and then Proverbs chapter 11. And then once you find Proverbs chapter 11, turn with me to Malachi, chapter 3. And this will be our scriptures. I want to tie these together. As I said in the early service, and repeating myself, but to a different crowd, I really wonder what can be said that's fresh and new concerning missions. But you know, I found this out in all the years that I've been preaching, that sometimes you finally hear something. You know, you finally listen. And you're sitting there, and maybe somebody phrases something a little bit differently, something of that nature, and it catches your attention, and you say, I've never heard it like that before. And change your perspective, change your thought. Today we're here concerning Faith Promise Missions. This is really the highlight of a missions conference. I come in and do whatever I'm trying to do, and these missionaries really have set the pace. I've loved to have been here to be able to hear them. I've always loved missions, missionaries, and always are challenged by their life. And today I want to try my best to help all of us with the thought of understanding missions. Really, do we comprehend what's going on? Do we understand what's going on? But to think that God is allowing us to be part of His plan is amazing to me. It's a humbling thing. So let's turn, if you would, please, and let's have a word of prayer. Then we will read our texts. Jesus, we love You. Thank You for allowing us to be part of Your work. Whether we are speaking or whether, Lord, we participate in some other means and way, capture our hearts today as we gather together, freshen our minds, and Lord Jesus, bring a new conviction into our life concerning our part in Faith Promise Missions. Move on our hearts even now, Lord, as to what You would have us do, what part we would play, and Father, even form in our mind and our heart how much You would have us to commit, that missionaries can go over there making a difference, rescue the perishing and care for the dying. And Lord, we'll be very careful to praise You. Enable me, I pray. May I be well hid, that Christ would be seen, Your word would be heard. The praise be given unto You in Christ's name. Amen. Look with me, if you would, please, at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. As you read those two verses, you find that there is a command given, but a promise is delivered as well. In verse 9, it tells us, and there's a command here, that we're to honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. If you read that very, very carefully, you'll find out that that's not only talking about monetary value or money, it's talking about every aspect of what makes us who we are, our life, our holdings, our house, our purchases, whatever. All of that is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's a promise, and look what it says in verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Not only is that a promise, but it's an answer, I think, as well. Through the years, I've had people say, why can't I make it? Seems like the more I make, the less I have, and things of that nature. Have you ever considered God's portion? Have you ever recognized that all that you have is God's in the first place, and it's only on loan to you? If we would stop and consider and be honest with God in the portion that He has entrusted to us, God's promise comes back that our barns will be full. What He's saying, you'll lack nothing. Your needs will all be met, and you'll never have any need to worry. Now, take that, if you would please, and turn over to chapter 11 of the same book and follow this up with verses 24 and 25. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And there again we have a command, we have an understanding, we have a duty, we have a responsibility, but God couples it with a promise. Look what He says again in verse 24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but attendeth to poverty. What He is saying is this, give it away. You cannot keep seed in a container and expect a harvest. It doesn't work. It's an impossibility. If you want to bear a harvest, you've got to spread the seed. That's what God says here. As a man soweth, that shall he also reap. A biblical principle. But then look what God says in verse 25. The liberal soul that shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered him also himself. There's the promise of God. If I were to capsulate any way, what He is saying is you can't outgive God. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, and see. Try me. That's what He says. Now, turn with me, if you would please, to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. And I'm not going to take all of this portion of Scripture, but look with me in verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. I was telling the early session this morning that within just a few miles of the church building where I pastored for many years, there's two federal institutions. And they're hardened criminals. It's not a medium security. It is the worst of the worst are incarcerated there. And I'm teaching on tithes and offerings. It's stewardship time, and we're teaching on it. And preachers, they'll understand this. Sometimes you say things that you haven't planned, and it startles you. And this was one of them. And I'm teaching on tithes and offerings, and I just happened to say, you know, all thieves aren't in the federal institutions down here. The reason I know that, that wasn't the bad part. The bad part came. After I said that, I said, the reason I know that is I pastor a bunch of them. Kind of got quiet, and I may have even heard a ooh or two. But you know, I never apologized. I just went on. What do you say after that? But our tithes and offerings increased. So I was thankful that God let me make that slip. But I'm here not today to deal with one aspect of verse 8. Notice the last phrase, in tithes and offerings. All I'm going to say is tithe is a debt. We're to pay it. Offering is an expression of your love. Why you give it. how much you give. And that's my duty here this day, is to talk about offerings, and one offering in particular, faith, promise, missions, giving. This is the highlight, and that's what the purpose of this day. And if you're here visiting and this is new to you, I can assure you that this is not the theme of this church every Sunday or every service. But we are talking about a church stepping forward, seeing what they can do, and determining what part they are going to play in faith promise missions, of getting these missionaries where God has called them to present the gospel, making a difference in people's lives. I want to do my best, by God's help, to help give clarity to understanding what missions is all about. Several times I stood on foreign soil and I asked God to put me there. The first time was in the Philippine Islands. I was in a place called Tarlac City. I've been there now 32 times. The first time I was there, the first night I went to bed and I was a broken individual. I had never been exposed to what I'd been exposed to that day. And in my bedroom and in the privacy of my night, I could not rest and I could not sleep. And I literally begged God to put me there. But he did not. The second time, and I don't know if I've ever told Brother Mike this, the second time was in Mexico. We had seen things. We'd been in a conference, and again, my heart was broken. This time I had my sweetheart with me. And we stood on a street corner in Mexico City. We were by ourselves. And I stopped on that street corner and I looked down at my girl. And I said, "Sweetheart, what if I told you that God was putting us in Mexico? What would you say?" She said, "Let's go home and pack." But God never put me there either. But God did give me a heart that beat for missions. He led me to lead a church to give almost unparalleled to any church in America. Only eternity will reveal what that church truly gave. And I'll not tell you because you'll think that I'm bragging, and if I were, it would be on my people. But he led me to do what needs to be done in getting these young people to where God wants them to be. And I'm thankful that he did, because if I'd been on a mission field, I would have known my mission field. But now I've been to mission fields all over the world, and I know literally multiplied hundreds of missionaries. I am a rich preacher. The word missions is not found in the Word of God. The word we translate as missions is to be translated as evangelism or evangelist. Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist, 2 Timothy 4:5. So missionaries are doing the work of an evangelist. They're carrying the good news of the gospel to a lost and dying world that otherwise would not be exposed to the only thing that can cure their need. They're not taking money. They're not taking wealth. They're taking the water of the Word of God to change a person's destiny. And they can only get there if you partner with them. If you become that person to help deposit in their account money to help support their needs to do God's work where God has placed them. Missions is the establishment and the fulfillment of God's soul-winning plan for the world. And we find that expressed in Matthew 28 when he says, "Go." And we find in Acts 1:8 that he says, "I will empower you when you go." To think that we are there given a commission, given a command to go. All that is lacking is obedience to the call of God in our lives, or to give to the support of God's call in our life. And I thought of this just a moment ago. Never be afraid of obedience. Never be afraid of obedience. I was never concerned about my father's attitude as long as I obeyed him. It was in the other side of the aisle that I wanted to find distance from my father. For us to better understand world missions, there are three primary biblical principles that are revealed to us. Number one, God has commanded it. Out of Matthew 28, God has commanded it. Now we must ask ourselves, are we obedient to God's command? I cannot answer that, only you can answer that as to the determination of your life and where you're at, what you're doing for the cause of Christ. Then secondly, not only does God command it, but God's love for the lost demands it. John 17, 18, the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. He says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now, if we read that verse in the context of its history, we have to believe that Jesus is talking about his disciples, those that were present, those who were there. God, as you have sent me to them, I am sending them. But God continues to send through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Generation by generation, he continues to send men and women to a lost and dying world with the word of life. This church has the blessing of participating, being part of that. As God rewards their faithfulness, he rewards you through your faithfulness so they can do the job. So God, through Christ, continues to call. Maybe he's calling someone here today. What a wonderful thought that would be. I remember years ago, my wife and I have five sons, and they're all grown and all have a bunch of kids. And one of our sons was very sharp. He had ambitions all growing up through his schooling, and that he wanted to be a national broadcaster, a newsman. He would watch the news. He would listen to his favorite news people. He wanted to go, and so when he graduated from high school, he went off to college to study broadcasting journalism. And he was doing very, very well. One night I passed his bedroom and the door was cracked, and I heard him crying. I stopped by the room just for a moment, and he was crying. And I pushed the door open and I said, "Titus, is there a problem?" He said, "Dad," he said, "I'm afraid you're going to be angry with me." I had no idea what he had done. They'd done so much, I didn't know what the next trip was. And he said, "I need to talk to you." And so I went into his bedroom and I sat on the edge of the bed with him. And he said, "I hope you'll not be angry." I said, "Well, tell me so I can determine whether I'm going to be angry." He said, "Dad," said, "I cannot be a newsman." He said, "I cannot be in journalism." He said, "I've been disobedient to God." Said, "Ever since I was a young child, God tapped my soul. He wants me to preach." And today, that young man pastors a large ministry in Florida. He's my favorite preacher. Angry? Oh, no. The Pentecostalism of my background came out on me, and we shouted in his bedroom, "To God be the glory." Listen. As I said earlier, never be afraid of obedience. Do what God's called you to do, whether it's in participation of going or whether it's in the participation of giving. Give of yourself. God's love through me for others I may not love them, but I love Him. But I found this, if I love Him and He loves them, He gives me a love for them. God so loved that He gave. Now, I want us to look further into the biblical clarity on missions. Everything in this meeting, and every year that you have this meeting is found on our personal vision of missions. What do you think about missions? What part are you going to play in missions? What participation are you going to have in missions? Is God speaking to a young life here, saying, you'll never waste it serving me. Give it to me. After all, it's His anyway. Or if you can participate in support and giving, I've got news for you, and I've observed this. Missionaries cannot do the job without you partnering with them. It's an impossibility. They cannot. So let's talk first of all about this, the mission or the cause for missions. Why do we have missionaries? Why do we gather together? Why does your pastor read reports? And why do you find letters stuck places in the building from missionaries around the world that is there because this church helps get them there and keep them there? What's the cause for missions? It's simple. You don't have to have a PhD. You can have one eye and half sense and understand this. It's simply because of the complete fall of man. You find that story in Genesis. Man separated from the Creator that made him, that loved him, that made him the being that he was, that gave him the ability to return a love given, and yet denied him and turned their back on God. God had to have a plan, because we know this, that God created man to worship Him. God wasn't about to lose His creation. So He gave us the plan of redemption, the shedding of blood, the giving of His Son. And that's the only cure for a lost and dying world. And without the message of the gospel, that part of the world will never come to know Jesus Christ. It's imperative. It's important that we be part of what God is doing. Oh, to think that God would allow me, a nobody, to be part of this. So the fall of man has created the need. Then the thought of the future of unsaved men is found in Luke 16. The loneliest phrase in all of Scripture, the most abandoned hope that's revealed anywhere in the Bible is this: and in hell he lift up his eyes. No hope. Oh, that we would hear and that we would see that. I was looking at something the other day, and I found this about Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards of the 1700s hit a dry spell for souls. His heart no longer beat for and with a love for the lost. In desperation, he fell on his knee and he cried out to God, "Oh God, please stamp eternity into both of my eyes." My dear friend, you and I are ticking. Somewhere along the line, it's going to stop. And we stand before God. We stand before God as His purchased ones. He bought us. He purchased us. We belong to Him. We're not our own. And the Bible says that we're to therefore glorify God. Are we? Are we? It's found in who we follow, who we give ourselves, who we abandon our soul to, and who we cherish in giving and returning back to all that rightfully belongs to Him. God furnishes us the faith provided to man through the hearing of the gospel. Romans 10, 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Man cannot be redeemed apart from hearing the truth of redemption's plan and the plan itself." Thus we're given the demand, preach the word. There is no other message. Just preach the word. Love people.
care for people, but don't neglect to preach the word. Then not only do we have the cause for missions, I'm sorry, but we have the call to missions. Thank you. We have the call to missions. First of all, we have the call to the church. That's collective. Five times in Scripture, we've been given the command to go into all the world. Four of those commands are given in the gospel. The one that's given in Acts not only has the command, but a promise. That command is that we go into all the world and preach the gospel. That we go to our Jerusalem. That we go to the uttermost part of the world. But the promise is that God will give us His power to do the job. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that encouraging? I'm not here in my own strength. I die to self that I may live Him, empowered of Him. Oh, what a privilege it is. My dear friend, we have the call to the church collectively unto the uttermost parts of the world. And then we have the call to the Christian. That's personal. We found that in John 17, 18. As God has called me and sent me, I send them. And perhaps God in this meeting is tapping on your heart, touching your life, disturbing and upsetting your existence, wanting you there, wherever there may be. And then we have a call from the condemned themselves. If you were to look at Acts chapter 16 and verses 9 and 10, we have what is known as the Macedonian call. Paul gives us this. And in this portion of Scripture, if you were to look at the very last part of verse 9, it says, come over into Macedonia and help us. My dear friend, that call still exists. That call is still there. Is the reason we do not hear it is we're not listening for it. We've allowed the noise of the world and of our life to drown out God and His working and His dealing and His talking to us, where we no longer hear the person over there begging, please come. Please come, please send. Help us. What is the help? Perishing men needing to be rescued. Oh, that we would see and have that. The benchmark of our love of God is our burden and committed action for the whole world, not just for our small corner of it. Why not stop this minute, right now, this minute, and take a spiritual inventory of your life? Are you living for eternal realities, or is your life centered around getting more of these things of this world, or protecting what you already have? I had someone come to me. My son, one son is pastoring in Florida. I have another son in Bible college studying for ministry. Grandson, I have another grandson that has just finished deputation and heading to a foreign field. And someone came up to me and said, preacher, said, now what do you think that you're losing your own? Do you have any more passion and compassion towards those that have lost their children to missions? Lose? What are you talking about? Excuse me, you're ignorant. My dear friend, I did not lose, I gained. Oh, to know. Oh, miss them, certainly. But to know they're there. God's there in their life. Knowing they're there with the gospel. Oh, my chest swells. My heart is filled to know that God has chosen some of mine to serve Him. Well, I miss those great grandbabies of mine. They're not going. They're staying.
No, I will miss them, certainly. Their little hugs and their sweet kisses, their cute antics, yes, I will miss them. But payday hasn't come yet. We're still waiting that. And I think it's not too far off where the trumpet will sound, the shout will be made, then all of eternity, never to be departed, to be there to make up for what men call lost opportunities. Oh, that God would touch their lives, anoint them with His sweet Spirit, and stir a world and send revival that would put an indentation in a nation somewhere that can only be recorded in history. God can do that. Oh, that we would give our life to that call. Come, help us. Verse 10, we find, he says, the Lord hath called us for to preach the gospel unto them. That's universal. That's universal. That's everywhere. You cannot take the gospel to the wrong address. You can't point in the wrong direction. It's always right, no matter where you take it. And then not only the call to missions, but the companions in missions. The companions in missions. First of all, we have the bride. That's the church. Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Do you see that working in the mission field? Oh, absolutely. Before they can hear, the church has got a voice. They've got to speak. And the church has got to exist that they may go and help the church. And as the church is challenged, they give out the call, come, that the thirst will know where they can get a good cold drink of gospel water. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And then we have the companion of the precious Word of God, the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible, that's the textbook. That's the only thing that'll work. Anything else is in vain. Oh, the book. Bring the book, Nehemiah said. And I challenge these precious missionaries, that's your textbook. Don't leave it home. Take it with you. Declare it, teach it, proclaim it, because that is what God's going to use in changing your students from just a student to a child of God. Then we have the tool of the believer. Our tools are faith. We have the tool of faith. 2 Corinthians 5:17, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God equips us. Never fear to go where God puts you. And then not only do we have the tool of prayer or faith, but we have the tool of prayer. Seven things on how we're to pray for missions. Let me give them to you quickly, could I? Not with a lot of fanfare, just this. When you pray for your missions, pray biblically. Pray specifically. Pray intelligently. Pray spiritually. Pray earnestly. Pray continually. Pray obediently. Just pray. And then we have the tool of money. That's our point. The tool of money. As we found in 2 Corinthians 8:1, giving is a grace privilege extended to us by God. It is a grace. Giving is a necessity. Romans 10:14 and 15 lets us know that. It's a necessity. It is a need. It must be. And then giving is rewarded out of Philippians 4:14 through 19. My dear friend, Jesus lived with eternity in view. He died for eternity in view. How can we do less than for us to be part of God's plan? And to know this, give and it shall be given unto you. Let's bow our heads, would you please? Father, somehow take the weakness of what I've had to say and strengthen it by your person and by your spirit. Oh God, move in our hearts today. Draw these people to you. May they press the chest of Christ and feel his heartbeat, and may it become ours. Lord, there may be someone here that you're dealing with, and they know you are. You want them in service. May they come. May they yield. May they surrender. Father, there may be someone here unsaved. They are our mission field here in our Jerusalem. Oh God, may they come and find you sweet to their soul. May they come and put their faith and trust in you. Find how they can know they're saved and know that heaven is their home. I pray they would come. And then, Father, speak to all hearts here about their participation, about their giving, the support through faith promise. Work it in their heart. Work miraculously, we ask in Christ's name. Amen, Pastor.